Recording has started.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the BC Members Call on Thursday, 9th of August, 2018. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call, and attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. On the audio bridge, we have Adetola Sogbesan and Kristen Dawn. If there is anyone else on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now?
This is Lawrence. I'm also on the audio bridge.
Sorry, I couldn't get that name. Do you mind repeating your name, please?
Lawrence Olale Robert on the audio bridge only.
Thank you, Lawrence. Anyone else? Thank you. Hearing no further names, I will turn it over to BC Chair Claudia Selle to begin. Claudia, please go ahead.
Thank you, everybody, for being on the call. And so just to start, I wanted just to let you know that crop funding are available for ICAN 63. I will send information right after the call. And in order to be able to access the crop funding, which is an in-region travel, BBC needs to submit a plan, an outreach plan. I know that the outreach committee is working on that, and the outreach plan has to be introduced by the 15th of August. I know Marilyn is working on that. Marilyn, a quick question. Do you think you would be able to present the plan by the 15th of August, or the outreach committee will be able to?
Claudia, thank you for asking. Yes, I'm sure we will be able to. I just have to make some changes that Chantal called to my attention, but the outreach committee hasn't, and I'm hoping I'll get the changes out today. I'm hoping we can get it to the full executive committee and the full BC by later today. It just to be clear, it updates our previous plan that takes into account the budget changes that and the other changes in the crop program, which limits it down from 5 to only 3.
Okay. Thank you very much for that. And Steve, I will leave the floor to you now for the policy discussion.
Thanks, Claudia. I sent a policy calendar around to all of you yesterday. It won't take us as long to get through it because there are only a handful of currently open public comments. I've just concluded with several members of the BC, the expedited PDP or the EPDP for the temporary specification. So I do hope that Margie Milam and Mark Svantrek can join our call and give us an update on their perspective on how that's going at some point during the policy calendar section. So since our last call, we've actually filed five additional public comments. So this is the time where I want to acknowledge the great work of the volunteers who put it in. On the 27th of July, our last call was on the 26th, but on the 27th, we did a comment on the renewal for the DOT Co-op sponsored registry agreement, and thanks to Zach Muscovich for drafting that. That same day, we also did a comment on the Open Data Initiative, or ODI, data sets and metadata, thanks to work by Denise Michelle, Faisal, Mark Dadaskeld, and Mark Svancharek. Claudia and Tim Chen provided some great edits as well. Thank you. On the 31st of July, we filed a response on the short-term options to adjust the timeline for the ATRT3. That's the Accountability and Transparency Review Team number 3. Well, that specific review, we commented that it would be appropriate to have them focus their scope on only previous ATRT recommendations. So I drafted that with help from Denise Michelle. On the 31st of July, we also did a comment on long-term options for adjusting the timeline of both the specific reviews, like the ATRT, but also the organizational reviews required under ICANN bylaws. Barbara Warner did a wonderful job on that draft, and nobody had any significant edits. Okay, finally, on the 31st of July, we did a comment on ICANN's draft proposal for this new fellowship program approach that they're pitching. I want to thank Marilyn, Kate, and Mark for doing the work on drafting a BC comment, We submitted it. It was a few days late, but I had a notified staff that it was coming in, and staff seemed, let's say, open to the idea of working our comments in when they analyze the rest. So thanks to all of you for the great work on those comments. We currently have, if you'll scroll to the second page of open public comments, and I guess I have scroll control, so I'll do that. The of the four open public comments that we have in front of us right now, let me get to the right spot here. Sorry. Okay, of the four open comments that we have right now, only one of them is due imminently, and that's the one on August the 9th. That is a comment on the independent review process, or IRP, implementation. It was an oversight team as part of the cross-community working group on the ICANN transition. We came up with a set of draft recommendations, and we are making a very tight comment with regard to just one aspect of those recommendations that we think needs to be maintained. I want to thank Kristen Doan for drafting a BC comment that we circulated on the 2nd of August. I had circulated some minor edits on the 6th of August, and then Chris Wilson of Amazon added some edits on the 7th of August. And that is the document you have as the very first attachment to the policy calendar. We need to finalize that comment on today's call so that we can submit those comments on time. So this is a great opportunity for you to open that comment that I attached to the policy calendar, the first attachment. You'll see edits in there for me and from Chris Wilson at Amazon. This would be a great time to hear comments from anybody who worked on the drafting or has questions for the drafters. Okay, fantastic. Then hearing no other comments, I will submit that as is a review. I will accept the changes and submit it on the 9th. We only have three other public comments that I figured were worthy of BC attention. There are others in there that are rather obscure nature. And the three that are available don't close until periods in September. So we don't have any great urgency to jump on those right now, but I did want to thank Vivek Goyal for volunteering to draft a BC comment on one of the most significant open comments, which is the next round of new GTLDs. And Vivek, I'd like to send you a little bit of a setup on that based on previous comments that we've done. And to do that, Vivek, I'm going to suggest I need your email address. And if Vivek is not on the call to provide that, I've asked staff to provide me with Vivek's email. Okay, the other open public comment that I know will get some attention would be ICANN's strategic plan for Africa. And it's a 2016 to 2020 plan. We did comment on the previous plan with work by Waudo, Andrew Mack, and by Lawrence. I know who's dialed in. But we do need a volunteer to draft the next BC comment on the Africa strategic plan. Can I pause now and get a few volunteers? This is volunteers for a plan on Africa, and its comment period closes on the 5th of September, on the 10th of September. Was that you, Lawrence?
Yeah, this is Lawrence. So I'd like to volunteer for that.
Thank you, Lawrence. Anyone else?
Steve, I'm happy to comment on to work on the Africa strategy.
Thank you, Andrew. Appreciate that. And Jimson is in too. Go ahead.
And Steve, it's Mira, and I'd like to propose that the full outreach committee also at least offer edit as all of the plans at the regional level. They do influence the other regions and subregions, so maybe we could just ask the full outreach committee to be available to provide comments.
Yeah, the outreach committee, along with all members of the BC, are encouraged to do that. In best case, the outreach committee gets involved in the drafting as opposed to reviewing and editing, but in either way, the participation would be welcome. Okay, fantastic. Thank you. There's only one other open public comment period on the technical use of the root zone label generation rules. That also closes to September, And this is about these non-Latin scripts. There are several in there, the Han script, Arabic, Khmer, Latin, and Cyrillic. It's a highly technical proposal on the study, and I really think that if we've got an expert who can handle those particular script technical challenges, it'd be great to get a volunteer on that. That's it for the open public comments. I then have a rather lengthy section addressing the comment, the period in front of us right now, which is how to adapt WHOIS to GDPR. As all of you know, the ICANN temporary specification is in effect right now, so there's an expedited PDP, policy development process, to try to figure out how to create consensus policy to replace the temporary specification itself. So we had two bold volunteers from the BC, Margie Milam and Mark Spedrick. They have been at it for 2 hours already today on a long conference call. There are now two calls a week at almost 2 hours in length, and a lot of preparatory time between calls, particularly on filling out surveys so that the team can assess where there is consensus and where there is not consensus. So at that, I wanted to open it up to all of the BC members that are supporting Margie and Mark, and Margie and Mark themselves, to give an update to the BC membership on where we are going, what kind of challenges we're facing, and what other kind of support we can provide for you.
Margie? Sure, it's Margie. Mark, unfortunately, is on another call. It's 4 hours of calls with the group, plus we have to twice a week submit our comments to different parts of the temporary spec. So they've basically divided up the temporary spec into different sections, and then we go point by point and agree, disagree, and put in our rationale. So fortunately, I've got great support from others on the BC, but it's a lot of work, and I appreciate all the input that we've received. Steve and all, would it be helpful to share the BC submissions with the BC after it's posted, so you can see what we've said? We're essentially trying to be consistent with all of the prior BC comments up until, the ePDP being launched.
Margie, it's Steve. Let's do that after we finish the first round of the surveys. And you're right. I've been trying to ensure that the way in which we fill out the survey is consistent with prior BC positions. So let's wait until we get them all pulled together, and then we'll submit the whole group to the BC membership.
Okay. That sounds great. And just so you can understand my observations so far, it's very difficult to really advocate for BC positions. The NCSG is dominant in these calls, and so what you find is that the NCSG members will take up the mic most of the time, there's very little support for some of the things that we've been advocating for all of these, these last few months. We're trying to do our best to explain our rationale for why we're asking for certain things. But just so you know, it isn't looking very promising. Kurt is the facilitator, and he's actually serving in a role beyond a facilitator. He seems to be actually making decisions on things, which, in my view, is problematic because he's, as we know him in prior roles as a decision maker at ICANN, it's a very natural thing for him to take that position, and there are times when he'll make some conclusory statements on how he views it, which, in my view, isn't really consistent with the role of facilitator. So we'll have to decide at some point whether we want to raise that. I'm just trying to think of what some of the issues. For example, the issue of searching beyond just the one single domain name, the reverse WHOIS type capability, that's not getting any traction at this point in the group. The only supporters we have on that are ESSAC and the GAC, but it's going to be a very difficult issue for us to push on. We'll keep pushing on it, but that already is coming becoming very apparent. We're also planning for a face-to-face meeting in September, 2 days in Los Angeles, at the end of September. So hopefully we'll get a lot accomplished there. Any questions?
Yeah, Margie, it's Steve. I think we have to remind members that this PDP is using the GNSO consensus rules and is supposed to avoid voting, but even if it came to voting, it's clear right now we are not likely to have a majority, let alone a consensus, for some of the positions that we've been seeking. So you have the really thankless job of trying to claw back a few of the elements that the BC wants in the face of, I would call it, significant opposition from the NCSG, led by Milton Mueller, and the contract parties are happy to have the NCSG be the one that pushes back on the BC and IPC, but I don't think the contract parties are likely to vote our way on some of the controversies that have come up thus far. So there is, what I've observed, is a well coordinated effort on the part of the NCSG and the contract parties to keep this very limited in scope and to ensure that it doesn't go towards the direction that we're seeking right now. So we have our hands full, and we may have to try to find ways to bring pressure outside of an EPDP. We are unlikely to achieve consensus there on the views that we want to advance.
Right, and in particular, the issue of access. Basically, the NCSG refuses to consider the access issue until later, and in fact threatened to boycott discussions if we went in that direction. So it's a very difficult time right now, and we're doing, you know, obviously we're doing the best we can, but the way the whole EPDP is structured is not really helpful for us, because the cards are stacked against us because of the large constituency of NCSG members on those calls.
And it may well be that the PDP generates recommendations that don't bear the support of the business constituency and the IPC, and therefore it would lack consensus in that direction. So I think that it may be necessary at some point in this process for us to be sure to register that we would not be a part of a consensus if we didn't get anything that we're seeking, because that too is a small point of leverage.
Yeah, totally agree. And just so the members understand, we're fighting to even keep what's in the temporary spec. It's clear that certain groups are trying to cut away from what's in the temporary spec. And so I'll give you an example, like the question of whether ICANN compliance should have access to who is, which in my view should be a no-brainer. We had to fight really hard to explain why ICANN compliance needs access to who is information. It's literally step by step. Everything in the temporary spec is up for discussion with I think the intended goals from the other participants of cutting back what's in the temporary spec.
Even cutting back on the agreed-upon scope for the EDP, EPDP, even though they voted for it. Susan Kawaguchi, your hand is up.
Thanks, Steve. I just thanks so much for doing this, Margie and Steve and Mark, even though he's not on the call. I can't even imagine what these discussions are like, and so I really appreciate the fact that you're taking on the battle. I was also wondering, I noticed, I haven't had time to really follow this, but I noticed that Rafiq is vice chair and GNSO liaison, and I know Steve and I went back and forth a little bit about that, but I was wondering if that still continues. Has there been any objection? And I think that's a really bad precedent, and it goes completely against GNSO process. In fact, I was you know, I was liaison for, I am liaison for the Curative Rights IGO-NGO PDP that just filed its final report, but is a complete mess. And early on that, you know, Phil was a co-chair of that and also one of the BC counselors, and I was like, why am I liaison if Phil knows everything about this? And it was clearly pointed out to me at that time that, oh, no, we need the liaison to be independent and not be the chair, because then if there's a complaint about the chair, you know, the liaison has a role there. And, you know, in the last few months with the work, the Curative Rights PDP, you know, I had to step in and override the chair's decision and make decisions with GNSO council leadership that were not agreed to completely by the chairs. And so I think it's really important that we have a distinction that there is a different liaison. I don't care if Rafiq wants to be vice chair. I mean, you might care. But, you know, he needs to pick one role or the other. But I didn't know whether we wanted to fight that fight. But I did feel like I should bring this up on council just as a process question. So I wanted your input on that.
Yeah, Susan, this is Steve. And before Margie kicks in, I too counseled against making this a battle line that we would draw. I had agreed with the ALAC that we had a situation where Kurt Pritz, the chair, really started this problem because he decided prior to even the first meeting of the EPDP that he'd like Rafiq to be the vice chair, and put that out for any objections is how he basically phrased that. It puts us in an awkward position deciding whether there would be an objection for Rafiq in that role, and I think we were able to succeed at tightly constraining how Rafiq would handle the role of vice chair if there were, for instance, concerns about the way things were being led. The situation about whether he was the council liaison, I guess, is a decision that's up to council. And there was a lot of discussion on whether he could do both roles or not. And I will say to you that we've constrained the conditions and set some expectations for how Rafiq is supposed to handle things. That hasn't been our problem so far. Our problem really starts at the top with the way the chair is handling things and continues all the way down the line because of the opposition we're getting from the NCSG, IP, ISPs, and the contract parties. So it's still my view that it isn't worth fighting a battle that would distract from the substantive issues we'd like to cover. That's just more to my feeling. And Margie and others who have been on these calls, do you think we need to try to remove Rafiq as the liaison to council? Margie?
Steve, I don't like it, but I agree with you. We have so many issues to battle, and I know Rafiq's style. He tends not to get involved, and he doesn't spend a lot of time, you know, in doing a lot of analysis. So, you know, it may be harmless. I think we wait until we see some indication that it's causing a problem, but in my view, we've got so many battles to attack. I'd rather not be fighting on everything, and unfortunately, sometimes some of our colleagues or people that agree with us don't speak up, and it really is Mark, myself, Alex, that are speaking up on this side, and so we just don't always want to look like we're objecting to everything.
Yeah, obstructionists. We don't want to be obstructionists.
Okay, so then I won't broach that bring that up in the next council meeting, though it is completely against process. So, I mean, yep. I really think in so many ways the deck is stacked against us.
Susan, you might make a note during council. Make a note of the fact that that him being liaison and vice chair doesn't seem to comport with process, and ask your colleagues on council whether this indicates that we are changing our precedent. And so you bring it up as a query about precedent more so than I have a specific objection to Rafiq doing this. And I think that might be a way to approach it. And you doing it on council is perhaps better than us doing it in the middle of the EPDP with all the other people on that call who would really object to the BC heading down that path in front of all those people.
Okay, because it really is a process question, you know, and you know, I've seen it several times, you know, the answer has always been, wait, you're in the leadership of that PDP. No, we got to change that since you've accepted that role. So I will be very careful in the way I bring it up then, because I do think that you may need the liaison. Now, whether or not another, you know, NCSG member steps forward to be a liaison, I don't know. You know, it may not solve the problem of NCSG, but at least it would have somebody that was not playing two roles that are conflicting, in my opinion.
Okay. Any other comments on the EPDP before we move to council? Margie, thank you again. You're carrying a lot of weight on that, and we all want to be as helpful as we can. I think we're going to try to do a call later today to talk about the next stage of the survey. All right, channel two is council itself, and I did want to point up on the policy calendar and on the screen in front of you, I've listed the five items that I highlighted from the council agenda for the next council meeting, which will occur on the 16th of August. So Marie and Susan, if you'd like to talk to our colleagues about the items that are highlighted for council.
Marie, do you want to go first?
She said no. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. I had expanded the your policy calendar here, so I couldn't see that. So we will have a final report on the protections for Red Cross names and all GTLDs. And the high-level review I've done of that, I think we're okay. I think it would not be the time to object to this. But if other BC members, you know, have different input, that would be good to know. And I think Marie's probably paid more attention to the GNSO review implementation report, but that seems okay to me. As I noted on the EPDP section, you know, I am liaison to the IGO, NGO, Curative Rights PDP, and it's a mess. The PDP sort of went off the rails, and very few members. There was definitely capture by one section of the part of the community, and the report makes recommendations that are completely against GAC advice. GAC didn't really participate in this PDP. So what's on the schedule for this time is not a vote. We will not be voting, we'll be discussing. What's going on behind the scenes is the more concerning thing. Shireen is, you know, very concerned about this report, so is Yoren. Council leadership, and including me as liaison, had a call yesterday with Yoren and Shireen and David Olive, and Shireen is advocating that we have a facilitated discussion about all of this with the community, small group from the community, not necessarily the same members of the working group, and that the GNSO does not adopt these recommendations, does not punt to the board, and that basically my viewpoint is they basically just want to redo the PDP, but in two sessions, one phone call and one face-to-face in Barcelona. That sets a horrible precedent, in my opinion, because, okay, so GAC didn't agree, board didn't agree, but the community came to some sort of decision and has recommendations. It's going to be a real challenge for the GNSO Council, so it'll be interesting to hear the other counselors and their input. And I'm not sure how, if the board and ICANN.org is allowed to say, no, we don't like what the PVP working group came up with, these recommendations don't work, so therefore we're going to use a different mechanism to decide. It might be appropriate in this space because of the complex issues, but it's just a horrible precedent. So basically it would remove a lot of legitimacy to the PDP process, in my opinion. So I would love to hear people's input on that. And then we have the CCWG and the Who Is Conflicts of Privacy Law probably won't get much attention because it's completely, it's just wrapped up in GDPR.
Mm-hmm. And there are two things on the agenda where I believe you guys have to make a vote. And Maria's got something in the chat, and then I see Marilyn's hand up. Marie, did you want to go next? Not hearing you, Marie.
Sure. And just to Marie's point, Phil was a co-chair along with Petter, and they both filed minority statements. And we encouraged, because there was no agreement on the fifth recommendation at all, and that's what goes up completely up against GAC advice, we encouraged all members who wanted to file minority reports. As far as I know, George Kirikos, which was really leading the charge on this, has not filed that. I'm sort of waiting for George to file litigation, but I don't know if he'll actually do it. He was claiming he was going to take further legal action against ICANN and everyone involved, so wouldn't be surprised if he named me. He definitely, had a vendetta against Phil. So, and staff, it was pretty abusive at times. So, I'm not sure how the GNSO Council can manage PDPs more constructively, but I think we're seeing, we may be seeing some of this in the ePDP, which, the same types of behavior that we're just not going to develop good policy this way. Marilyn, go ahead.
Thanks. Marilyn speaking. I just wanted to note that this is actually not the first time where we have presented a council-supported PDP and then found that major changes were directed. And even the original GTLD policy recommendations, where we had a consensus for a more managed lower number and a priority of IDNs and community-facing GTLDs, and that was overridden by ICANN, wasn't called ICANN.org then, but by ICANN and actually by the chair of the board and by the CEO. So this isn't the first time. I'm not saying it's a good precedent, but I just want to note it's not the first time. I think there's been a couple of other times when the board has intervened with information about how a PDP recommendation is counter to GAC policy advice and has tried to inform the community that this would mean that the board would then be in a difficult position to accept the PDP advice. I'm just going to say one other thing. I, too, have been personally sued by George. The good news is that was back when I was chair, and he was not deemed eligible to be a VC member. But the good news is that John Jeffrey took very seriously that we were not independent agents, and it was ICANN's problem, not ours. So I just want to mention that, Susan. So if that's in any way helpful to know.
Well, I'm not too worried about George myself, but, you know, it could be an interesting thing, but it's good to know. I'd be in good company then. He can do whatever he wants, and I'll respond, or have ICANN respond. So, but it's just an example of how difficult things can be, and of course, a lot of that same behavior is going on in the RPM working group, so that one has challenges. And thanks for the reminder on the GTLD PDP because the board changing things. It's, you know, I don't agree with the fifth recommendation that came out. It wasn't really, there was no complete consensus on that. And I think that something needs to happen. I just don't know what the process should be, because my first response was, well, facilitated discussion with whom? You know, I can only represent the BC, so don't come to the GNSO and think council leadership will make a decision here. The GNSO council has to. It's back to process, in my opinion. If we stick to the process and figure that out, then I think we're in a better place. Shireen did not like my viewpoint, but I was just, you know, stating matter-of-factly what the issues could be long-term, so.
Thank you, Susan. Marie, anything to add as our other counselor?
No, that's fine with me. Thanks, Steve.
No, thank you both for all the work you put into that. There was one other item that I circulated to all of you back on the 24th of July. It was a draft letter. It was going to be a joint letter between the BC and the IPC, a letter to ICANN.org, and we were going to regard and bring up ideas for the next steps to the accreditation and access model for non-public WHOIS. During that 6 days of review period, no BC members raised any objections, but at the conclusion of that period, the IPC came back to us and said, you know what, on second thought, we have some edits we'd like to make to that letter. I am waiting on Brian Winterfelt, the IPC prez, to give us edits that the IPC has approved. I don't want to put a letter back in front of all of you in the BC until I know that the IPC is comfortable with this one. So look for that in the next few days, and we'll allow the BC several days to review prior to submitting that as a joint letter. Mason, anything else you wanted to add on that?
No, Steve. I think the IPC may be wanting to submit a letter of their own, so it may end up being just a BC-only letter. So they may withdraw their signature on that letter and leave it to us to submit and follow on with their own independent letter.
Okay. The emails I exchanged yesterday indicated that they were considering the tone. So I don't want to trouble the rest of our BC members on this until we figure out what IPC actually wants to do, and then I'll do a special email to the BC membership. But we're not taking any action on it in today's call because we're waiting for IPC.
Okay. Thank you, Steve.
Thank you, Mason. Appreciate it. I wanted to scroll quickly down to Channel 3, which is the whole work that we do as the CSG. Now, Barbara Warner is on vacation, not available to be on the call today, but there is one item that I certainly wanted to bring up today, and that is the structuring of these high-interest topic sessions that will occur at ICANN 63. The BC has submitted two ideas, one having to do with a general discussion of access to non-public WHOIS data, which we've led at each of the past two ICANN meetings. And we also brought up the idea on the subsequent procedures for the next round of GTLDs and wanting to have a public discussion of where that stands. We suggested that not as wanting to be the only one asking for it. We did suggest that if the actual team working group that's doing the subsequent procedures had a lot to say, that we said the BC would like to be part of that. With regard to the who is and access and GDPR, we got a reply from Donna Austin, and I guess she's acting in that role as co-chair of council, but Donna Austin came back with some ideas to come up with a consolidated plan for how we would address GDPR and who is at ICANN 63. Chantel, were you able to create a PDF out of my second attachment in order to load it?
Hi, Steve. I didn't see that request come through. I can do that now.
Thank you very much. What Donna is proposing is a different kind of a structure, and it would not be one that the BC would lead as we did at each of the last two ICANN meetings. And I guess that's fine as long as our topics get covered and the BC has an opportunity to participate. The proposal that Chantel is creating and loading is one that we need to react to probably today or tomorrow. Barbara usually handles all of this for us as our CSG liaison, but is unable to do so because she's got some personal time off. I'll wait for Chantel to load that in the Adobe. It was the second attachment to the policy calendar. So all of you can load that attachment if you wish from my email. I would say to this, she is trying to combine as many as five different session proposals to a single two-hour session, and they want to come up with an innovative way of hosting it. So the idea of a panel is suggested, and they may actually bring an outsider in to handle it. Now, this is a two-hour general session, and I think I don't even know why it is that Donna Austin has sort of taken on the role of proposing how to reorganize the session. But I can paste into the chat what it is that she had while we're waiting on Chantel. There it is. Thank you, Chantel. The far right-hand column of what you have on the screen in front of you is what Don Austin is proposing as a way to rationalize and consolidate it. And you'll note in the bottom right-hand corner that there isn't even a separate role for businesses in terms of panel participants. She has law enforcement, intellectual property, cybersecurity. So I think we would do our best to insert a BC representative among the panelists. Are there any reactions from BC members on their proposed way of reorganizing that session? Go ahead, Marilyn.
Thanks. I just want to mention, I too don't understand why Donna is taking this on, but maybe that was agreed to in an allocation of work within the leadership. Sometimes that happens. My comment is more specifically, right now, our best friends, in my view, are the ESSAC and potentially the broader GAC. So in reorganizing the session, maybe we should be, I think it is important to have law enforcement there, but I'm looking at this and it seems extremely unbalanced. I don't see the GAC, I don't see the ESSAC there, and yet the ESSAC has very relevant reports and information that should be included, besides a business perspective. Just to add maybe a suggestion, it's not only about us, but it's also about being more inclusive of those other groups.
Yeah, it may well be that the cybersecurity expert is meant to convey the ESSAC and that law enforcement is meant to pick up the GAC perspective. I'm being charitable in that assumption, Marilyn, but I believe that's what she's thinking there. Susan, and then Margie.
Just really quick on Donna. Donna was on the group that sort of reimagined the meetings, ICANN meetings, you know, when we went to this new type of structure. And since she's on council, has taken on the role of continuing to work with ICANN org on scheduling GNSO-related sessions. And so as vice chair, she sort of, I'm not sure exactly, she just started doing it. I'm not sure it's truly a GNSO council function, but she's been doing that for the last 2 to 3 years.
And I do consider it helpful that Donna is trying to consolidate 5 different proposals into a single 2-hour session. So I have no objection to her being helpful, but we may need to push back a little bit on the composition of the panel. Margie, I'll go to you next, but I did want to make sure that members understood that the bottom row on this table is a standalone session proposal for understanding how RDAP and the role it can play in RDDS. And I think that would be a brilliant idea to do a session on that. It may not be one that requires 2 hours, but it would be one where Alex Deakin and others in the BC that understand how RDAP can help to play a role, that could help as well, because on the EPDP, RDAP is part of the TEMP spec, and we've always believed that that was a hook for being able to achieve tiered access, since RDAP can accommodate tiered access for non-public WHOIS. So the more we keep that alive as a technical means to achieve non-public WHOIS data, the better off we are. And rather than burying it in a 2-hour general GDPR session, it could be better for us to advocate a separate RDAP discussion as well. I'd like to get feedback on that. But first, let me turn to Margie.
Sure. One of the observations I have is that there's a lot that they're possibly talking about in this session, which means that the unified access or even the model we've been working on will get very little discussion time. Things like, you know, why who is important. Okay, I think we all know that, you know, or the and privacy issues. So is there a possibility where there could be a separate session on the accreditation and access discussions, or if not, have that be a larger part of this discussion?
I can certainly propose both of those to Donna, because I'm thinking that after this call, I'll need to do some sort of response to Donna's proposal. And I guess it would be a multi-factored response where we talk about business participation, law enforcement, in the GAC, that we talk about the small emphasis that is in there on the accreditation model. We talk about probably the lack of need to use a lot of time on the question of why privacy and WHOIS matters. So I guess I'll have to note the comments that are being made here and go back to Donna, but I don't believe that this decision is one that we alone will influence. Tim Chen, and then Alex.
Hey, folks, can you hear me?
We do.
Okay. Margie already said it, so I'll try to put my comment in the comments. But I really agree with this independently. I would strongly prefer that discussions around accreditation in the UAM are its own published topic conversation. I've seen way too many 2-hour meetings with 4 or 5 different topics that certain topics get lost because of time. At the expense of other topics. And so I would prefer that doesn't happen. So just wanted to make that point, though. Pass it to the next person.
Thank you, Tim. So it's topic number 13, the unified model for access and accreditation, moving from concept to timely implementation. I guess that we would suggest that be a standalone session. And go to Alex Deakin.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. I just wanted to agree. I think the RDAP session would be helpful, and if we can't get topic 13 as a separate session, which I think would be great, then we could potentially use the RDAP session to express points that are important to us. I'd be happy to participate in that if it makes sense. I'll note that I'm encouraged that Mark from Microsoft is participating in the RDAP working group, because my requests to join that group have been ignored to date. I'm not too sure what, if anything, to read into that. I'll ask again, even though I requested access and the ability to kind of represent the end user in that working, the RDAP pilot working group, I've still not been invited. So I just wanted to give everyone a heads up on that. But if there is a way I could help with any prep or any panel discussions in Barcelona, just let me know.
Alex, are you able to observe and listen in on those discussions, even though they haven't formally invited you to be in?
No, I haven't. Well, I haven't asked that, requested that specifically. I'm not even too sure who's in control of who gets to join and listen in or not. But I'll reach out to Mark Anderson from Microsoft, from VeriSign, who's the chair. And
VeriSign. Yeah, please do. And it was my understanding that GDD was running that pilot group, because it's not a creature of GNSO, is it? I don't think so.
No, it's not. That's right.
Okay. And if you recall, it was Akram who told us that by end of July, that pilot, including tiered access with encrypted information, would be published for reaction. And that's the opportunity, I guess, we were looking for. And given that that's not out yet, I think we want to press him on that. Remember, he made those promises to us when we met in Panama, and this is a great time to hold him to those. Thank you, Alex. Are there any other comments from BC members on proposals for sessions? Fantastic. Thanks. And Claudia, I could turn it back to you at this point.
Thank you very much. Steve, Chantel, or Ozan, could you please put the agenda on? Just for information of the BC members, yesterday I circulated a mail for the meeting request to be done in ICA 63. I didn't see any objection, so Chantal will get will send out the request for meeting. Then I would leave the floor to Jimson, unless anyone wants to speak. I see Alex mic is open, but maybe it was related to the previous issue.
Okay, thank you very much, Claudia. This is Jimson speaking. So at this point, we are close to 80% in membership dues compliance. So I want to thank members that have expeditiously attended to the dues payment. And now to the election. The nomination period ended yesterday. And at that time, we have three nominees for the three positions available for the small business representative to NOMCOM. We have Lawrence Olawale Robert. And for the large business rep, we have Paul Michel. And for counselor, we have Scott McCormick. And they're all in good time. So I will just mention again now that we expect that if you send in their candidate statement to the BC private list on or by Wednesday, 15 August, and then we'll have a candidate call on Thursday, 16th of August. That's around 15 hours UTC. But once it's confirmed, it will be communicated to everyone. And immediately after that, we'll have the voting. And between August 20th to the 27th, and the outcome will be announced. So I would like to use this opportunity on behalf of every one of us to thank these nominees for accepting to serve BC in these various capacities. And also to use opportunity to mention that the officers' election will be coming up between October and November period based on our policy. And at the same time, too, in line with our charter, the committees of the BC2 will have also leadership election at that period, talking about the credentials committee and the outreach committee. So you have the election for that period. Then on other matters, like the chair, Claudia, actually talked about the need for members to apply to benefit in the leadership development program or funding program to attend ICANN 63, 64, and 65. We have two tracks of this leadership program. The first one is sponsored by ICANN, and that is limited to in-region nominees. For example, for ICANN 63, whoever would be nominated should be domiciled in Europe. So I think the members that have contacts in Eastern Europe can actually nominate someone from Eastern Europe, consider to be still developing, to benefit from this. So it's a way of reaching out and building leadership. Then for ICANN 64 in Japan, it will be those within Asia that can be nominated to benefit from this. And ICANN 65, Marrakesh, Africa, will be those within Africa that can benefit from this. So three different slots for 63, 64, 65 through ICANN. You can also recall, BC has the same similar program, as we all agreed, to use some of our funds to broaden participation in activities. But that of the BC is not limited to in region. So it can be anywhere across the world. Someone can be nominated or can nominate yourself. From a BC member can benefit from this, and failing, it will be thrown open to non-BC executives. So it's available for ICANN 63, also ICANN 64, and ICANN 65. So just one delegate each, one beneficiary. And also for CROP, we have three slots for CROP managed by ICANN. That is for in-region. CROP for our new members is community regional outreach program. So it's an in-region event or program so that members can use that to conduct outreach within their region, maybe within Latin America, within USA, North America, or within Africa, Asia, etc. So three slots available in this, managed by ICANN, and two available managed by BC through our funding program. So just so I should explain this more clearly, but the details are already on the list. So on this note, I want to say thank you for listening. Over to you, Claudia.
Thank you, Jimson. We have just 1 minute left. I know Marilyn wanted to debrief us for the cross-community working group on action proceed. I don't know, Marilyn, if you can be really brief in less than 1 minute, because we need to close down the call.
I can be very brief in less than 1 minute. Marilyn Gates speaking. The CCWG auction proceeds is, in my view, we're struggling a little bit. Tony Harris at the last meeting, there are what I'm going to propose, Claudia, with your permission, that I just send a written notice, but I really need for members to take note of it and offer some comments. The CCWG auction proceeds will be holding a public event at ICANN. I'm not telling you it's going to be a high-level event because that's still to be determined, but it's going to be really important to have attendance at it. There were originally four ideas, four options. I've been trying to winnow it down to those that are very practical with the support of some of the others we do have a little bit of a challenge. There's a one of the co-chairs is invested in a particular outcome, there's relatively low attendance and participation and contribution to the working group. The consultant is not unbiased, and that means that questions have to keep going back and forth. But we're making progress. We're going to have a report. It's going to come several weeks before the meeting, and I'll just do a written report and ask people, members of the BC, then to be aware of it and offer their comments, because many of the BC members have different experiences in how funds are distributed, and also, although the topics have been relatively defined, I think the BC should look at how those topics advance the interests of the BC, capacity building as an example, security stability, et cetera. Thank you. Thank you, Claudia.
Thank you, Marilyn. Thank you, everybody, and the call is adjourned.